Last week we looked at the Israelites after they came, after they got to Mount Sinai, being rescued from Egyptian bondage. And we saw the Israelites did not want to draw near to God at Mount Sinai. Instead, they insisted that Moses do the speaking with God, and they will listen to Moses. Fear kept the people of Israel from getting closer to God, and God has always wanted a closer relationship with his people. Jesus allowed us even more direct access to God through his work on the cross. And last week I left you with two questions. What has been keeping you from drawing closer to the Lord? And the second question is, what do you need to do to get past that barrier and draw closer? Now, those questions are going to come back in this message today. But if you were here last week, I truly hope that you thought about those questions this week. I hope that you've been pondering them. And today we'll be looking at facing those barriers, or facing our fears, or facing other challenges that have kept us from being more Christ-like. And we will see this in the divine encounter of Joshua, who is Moses' replacement. Joshua will be leading the Israelites into the promised land of God. And Joshua was a descendant of Joseph, and Joshua acted much like a helper or an aide to Moses most of his younger years. Something else about Joshua is that he was one of the 12 spies who went out and saw the land and saw that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But out of those 12 spies, only two really felt that they could go into the land. It was he and Caleb. The other 10 confirmed that the land was great, but said it was impossible to take that land because of the great and vast armies, because of strong, large men, and because of fortified cities. And those 10 people out of the 12 created such a problem that a majority of the Israelites sided with them and grumbled against Moses. And instead of going into the promised land, God sent the Israelites back into the wilderness for another 40 years. And this sets the foundation of who Joshua was. He was a man who was close to Moses and was a man of faith. And I won't say that he was perfect or that he never doubted, but he desired to do God's will. That's who Joshua was. And because of his faith, only he and the other one, Caleb, would be left alive to see the promised land with their own eyes. The 40 years in the wilderness was a time where that grumbling generation who felt it was impossible to go in the land, they perished in the wilderness. But after the 40 years was over, Moses' time of leadership came to an end, and that's where we begin our story, and that's where we'll begin our scripture today, looking at Joshua chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Joshua 1, 1. And I'll be reading a good portion through verse 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to the Euphrates. After the Hittite, all the Hittite country. Am I on still? Okay. So all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and succeed. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There's a lot in those few verses. And God is now speaking directly to Joshua. And I would say that Joshua had understood God as a personal God because of Moses' interactions with him. Moses was Joshua's mentor, and we're told that Moses spoke to God face to face. Now that Moses is gone, Joshua is now leading the Israelites with God's direction and presence. And the Lord directs Joshua to get ready to cross the Jordan River. If you think about it, the Israelites have now been have wandered the wilderness for 40 years. And they're now right back at the starting point of going into the promised land. You see, they were here once before 40 years ago, and there was doubt, and there was grumbling. But now they're right back there again. And God says, get ready. And if we go all the way back even further, God promised Abraham all the land that he was on. And that promise was passed on to the next generation, to the next generation, and so on. And so we know that God is faithful in his promises. But sometimes his promises take a while to come to fulfillment. You think about Abraham, how many hundred years have gone by, hundreds of years, multiple generations. And now this is the point where that promise is being fulfilled. He's giving the land to the people. The time to receive that land is now. God is saying, get ready. In verse 5, we see God reassuring Joshua that as he was with Moses, so he will be with him. God will never leave nor forsake Joshua. So he's told to be strong and courageous when leading the people. And Joshua is reminded the importance of obeying the law as well. And again tells Joshua, after telling him to obey the law, be strong and courageous. He's to meditate on the law day and night and never let it depart from his mouth. I would have had the kids come up and share their verse here at this time. It would have been a great opportunity. But with the kids, it's better to get the verse done right away. But this is something that is not just for Joshua or the Israelites at that time. We've got the Bible, we've got God's word and hiding it in our hearts, and to meditate on it and to memorize it. That's a part of knowing God and being able to relate with him on a deeper level. And so that's what God is telling Joshua. Meditate on it day and night. Don't let it depart from your mind, your mouth, meaning it needs to impact our daily life, his daily life. And then there's a third time where God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Not be terrified or discouraged, for he, the Lord, will be with him wherever he goes. Joshua's job is leading the people and keeping God's word. And three times we're told, he's told to be strong and courageous. So Something we know about Scripture is this. If something is repeated, it means it's important. We see just in 9 verses a phrase that is repeated 3 times. Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. Why do you think he's told this 3 times? Because if he's told once, there's a possibility he'll go one ear in one ear and out the other. If he's told twice, that might mean, oh, maybe I should pay attention to that. How about a 3rd time? Okay, I need to be paying attention to this. And I think that it's important. I think it's important because Joshua struggled with fear and doubt. Look at him. He's filling the footsteps of Moses. And if we were to begin down that road of comparison, I would say that Joshua would probably feel very inadequate compared to Moses. But remember, Moses felt the same way when he was called in the desert. He felt inadequate. He felt somewhat old, and yet God used him for greatness. Remember when Moses asked God, "Who am I that I should go bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Really wasn't about Moses, because God was going to be with him. Moses just needed to be willing to follow God's lead. A very similar thing is happening with Joshua. Joshua might be struggling with fear and doubt, but the promise is that God will never leave him nor forsake him. God's presence is what is important. And Joshua needs to be courageous and strong in following what God tells him. See, how many times do you think we've allowed fear, doubt, or feelings of inadequacy keep us from stepping out? I know this is probably something I preached on for a few messages now. But there's something you need to know about courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is continuing in spite of fear. Courage is stepping forward when the inner drive, the inner self is desiring to flee. Courage is continuing forward. And Joshua knows that tough times are coming. God promised the land to the Israelites, but they must take it and occupy it. They must remove the current residents in battle. See, God may have promised that land to them, but they just don't walk in there and it's empty. God's telling them, you need to go in and you need to take this land that I'm giving you. Now, I could go into a whole couple sermons just on that theme of going in and taking the land, but that's not what I'm preaching on today. But Joshua knows and is told that he is to be ready as they'll be crossing the Jordan River shortly. And shortly after they cross the Jordan River, they'll be fighting for the Lord. And with God on their side, it's a great relief. But you know what? They're still going to be fighting. Have you ever been in a situation where you know something difficult's on the horizon? You absolutely do not want to have to go through it, but you know there's little choice. You know that a fight is coming, maybe not a physical fight like we see here with Joshua, but a fight for your health, maybe a legal fight of some sort, or an emotional struggle, or a financial hardship, a burden that cannot be avoided. You know it's coming. We could say it's a storm that's on the horizon. Sometimes we're told that there's a calm before the storm, but if you know the storm's coming, there's going to be fear, doubt, anxiety. You can't really call it a calmness before the storm because there's emotions that are going up and down, and you have to get yourself ready for the storm. For some people, this time is a fearful time, and little is done, but what do we see Joshua doing to get ready? He spent time with the Lord. The Lord reassures him to be strong and courageous. Don't back down. The thought of what is ahead may be overwhelming, but if you dwell on it, fear will overtake you. That's why Joshua is being told several times, be strong and courageous. The barrier ahead may seem too big to overcome, but be strong and courageous. You see, 40 years before this, the Israelites didn't understand that. All they could see was the barrier, the walls, the difficulties ahead, and they decided they just can't do that. But God is saying, be strong and courageous. Trust. Trust me. Don't let the anxiety of what's coming keep you from spending time with the Lord. Don't let the anxiety keep you from living your daily life with the Lord. Which brings me to another verse that I have on my wall. And it ends up in a lot of my messages because this is something I deal with. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we're anxious, when we're feeling stressed or fear or doubt, that's the time to spend even more time with the Lord. I cannot tell you how many times I've spent on my knees in just this very room, working through anxiety by spending time with the Lord. We often think that if we spend a lot of time in prayer, that the hard or difficult times that are coming will go away. That's what we pray for a lot of times. God, I see the storm coming. Please, just don't let it hit me. That isn't always the case of God's answer. See, Joshua was given the task to lead Israel into battle in the promised land. He could pray and pray and pray. God and God could give him peace and understanding about what he needs to do. But that doesn't take away what he needs to do. He needed to lead the people into battle. He still needed to be strong and courageous and go up into the land. Sometimes that is what God is waiting for us to do, is to get up and go. Right before Joshua crosses the Jordan, he receives another word from the Lord. We see this in Joshua 3:7. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. It's not Joshua that's really being exalted here. It's God. It's God's presence is still there, reassuring the people that Joshua is leading as Moses led, and that's within God's presence. Reading on in verse 15 of chapter 3, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing, so the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. What a wonderful miracle. We see the miracle at the Red Sea in the desert when the Egyptian army is coming across, and now we see the Jordan River, which is that flood stage. As soon as the priest stepped foot, it stopped. God showed the people that he was with Joshua, and they crossed the river on dry ground. And right when you think they're going to go into battle, I often thought that as soon as they crossed the river, that they went right up to Jericho and went into battle, but we're told something else happened before they did that. They don't just run up there. Many of the men undergo circumcision and look to the Lord. They wait on the Lord again before going into battle. After that, they make their way to Jericho, which is a fortified city, and it's a city that was never breached. No army had conquered it, and the inhabitants of Jericho felt confident in that their walls would keep them safe again. But the Lord tells Joshua, okay, you're going to go into battle, but you're not just going to run up to the walls. You're not just going to go up and try to overtake it. He tells him to walk around the city one time for 6 days. So every day for 6 days, they walk around the city. And then on the seventh day, they walk around it seven times. And at the last moment, they blow their trumpets and they yell, and the walls just crumble down to the ground. And then the Israelites go in and take over the city. You know, this is very much an awesome story. And I've really paraphrased a lot of it. So I would say go to your scripture this week and read through all of this. And you'll see a lot more of the details. But how does this story apply to our lives? How does this affect me? One, anything is possible with God. The promise that He is with you means that great and mighty things are possible when His presence is with you and in you. No wall is too high. No sin is too big for God. At the beginning of my message, I reminded you of the questions that I left with you last week. What is keeping you from drawing closer to the Lord, and what are you going to do about getting past that barrier? And some might have significant walls to overcome. There's a lot of walls that can prevent us from drawing closer to the Lord. I'll list a few here, but know that there are many. It could be an addiction to something. It could be an addiction to drugs, alcohol, pornography. Those are just to name a few. But if it controls you, it's an addiction. And there is a possibility that God will miraculously free you from an addiction if you ask. But I know of others who have asked, and yet it was their wall that they had to fight through. Yet no addiction is too big for God. How about another one? No financial burden is too big for God. Or no past sin is beyond forgivable. I don't doubt that some of you have a Jericho that you have to overcome. It might be in the form of a struggling marriage. It might be in the form of adultery. Maybe even same-sex attraction. It might be in the form of loving money to the point that it's become an idol. It might be in the form of having to forgive someone who deeply hurt you in the past. It might be in the form of pride. The walls might be thick, and the walls might be wide. But any wall can crumble if we keep the Lord first and ourselves second. With God, nothing is impossible. It may take some time. The walls of Jericho didn't collapse on that first walk around. And even when they did collapse, the Israelites still had to fight. They still had to go up. And don't think you can just say a prayer and it will all be done for you. Though that can happen, we also see where you have to fight for what you know God is wanting from you. The Israelites had to work. And it required trust, and it also required being strong and courageous. A second thing that we can take away from the story that we see here with Joshua is when you look at what Joshua went through, it seems like they would move and stop and spend time with God. They would move and stop and spend time with God. They would move and stop and spend time with God. You know, that was what we see that they went through. Sometimes we want to just say that one prayer and stop. I've already said that, but we need to keep going. There was also a stopping to make sure that they were aligning themselves with God. In our culture today, we want what we ask for right now exactly the way that we ask for it. Isn't that how McDonald's does it? We make it your way. And if we don't get it in 2.2 seconds, we're ready to complain or drive off or not pay. That's our culture. We want what we want right now in the way we asked it. I don't ask for no pickles at McDonald's because when they don't leave the pickles off, I get angry because I ask for no pickles. So my expectation is if I don't ask for no pickles, I'll get them and I won't be mad. I don't know where I'm going with that. But that's our culture. We want things the way we want it, and we want it right now. But that's not, God's not McDonald's, and God is not a drive-thru. God is God. He is almighty, all-knowing. And there's a lot of times where we just have to sit back and say, I trust you, and I will be strong and courageous when I don't feel like it. God gives us what we need when we need it, and it doesn't always look like what we ask for. Taking time to be with God is also another way to realign ourselves with Him. A third point to take away is that persistence. I was leaning towards it, being persistent with the Lord. Maybe the wall that you were facing didn't come down on the first prayer, but keep praying, keep moving, and allow God to work. The wall didn't come down right away, but the Israelites trusted God and they continued to walk around it as instructed. And we can trust God too. Joshua didn't become a leader of the Israelites overnight either. He spent a tremendous amount of time meditating on God's word, recognizing and learning from Moses, his mentor, and then being chosen to lead. See, we look at Joshua and we want to say, well, I want to be just like Joshua to hear so much of what God is saying and to know exactly what to do. But Joshua took a long time of learning what it was to communicate with God, seeing how Moses was with him. And we're going to hear a message probably in 3 weeks about hearing from the Lord, looking at Samuel. So that's still coming ahead. But if there's something keeping you from a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, continue working and praying to remove that barrier. Some barriers God will take from us right away. Others we actually have to fight through. God wants us to go through that for whatever reason. Could God have given Jericho over to the Israelites without a fight? We see that happening in other areas with like Gideon, but not here. The Israelites had to go in and they had to take it, but he helped with the walls. Don't give up. Keep going until either the walls crumble or you scale the wall getting past it. And I'd like to leave with one last verse with Psalm 18:28. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. That's encouraging for us all. And I thank the Lord every day for is scripture that continues to point us in his direction and oftentimes away from our own.